Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a great new episode of the show tonight. We're going to have Billboard chart topper Margot Ray joining us in just a moment. She's going to be talking about her brand new single, Never Too Late. By the way, it's never too late to have a number one single because her single is just right now this week, the new number one single on Billboard Magazine's Adult Contemporary Charts. So we're going to have the number one artist in America on the show with us in just a couple of moments. I'm so thrilled to have her here. I'll encourage you, if you are on Chat and Spin Radio, to don't drive distracted tonight across the pond in the UK. I want to welcome you back to the program. And of course, if you like the show, to make sure to follow it on the Blog Talk platform. You can also download the show as a podcast on Apple iTunes and listen to us even on a red-eye flight, you know, to the southeast of the United States. But welcoming back our favorite guest ever, Margot Ray. Margot, how are you, my dear?
That is so kind of you, our favorite guest ever. That is really ever. Sweet. I want to live up to that now, Garrett. I'm good. Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you, it's one of the favorite things of my day whenever I get an email saying, you know, Margot has a new single out. I'm like, how quickly can we get her on? Because whenever we have you on the show, it's no joke. People will call and email and Facebook me and send me messages saying, we love Margot. And I said, I know. Now just go buy her music or go see her in concert, you know, help support the cause. So definitely a favorite to the show.
Support the cause. We're pedaling the bike over here.
Yeah, like pedaling the bike.
We have a big U-Haul behind it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and the U-Haul has my band and studio time and things like that in it. So we're pedaling it, my husband and I.
Well, it's a great workout, that's for sure.
It is a great workout. That's a really good way to put it. I would agree.
Hey, I need to let you know, I am so sorry that I missed you last month. I had an opportunity to come see you on June 4th play at the Dave Cause restaurant and bar in Beverly Hills, and I got there for the end of your show, and I'm not kidding, the last, you know, like 25 minutes of your show, I'm circling around like multiple blocks trying to find any place to park, and I couldn't find any place to park. And by the time, you know, I was able to make that all happen, the show was over and everything was gone. So I missed you.
That's a shame. Yeah, well,
it was so well, you're that popular.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It was a very good show. It was really good. That's a wonderful venue to play. Dave Cause, the venue Spagatini has been around for a while in Orange County for years. Mm-hmm. And Dave Cause, who's a smooth jazz saxophonist who I actually got to tour with a couple of years ago. He and the owner had been talking for many years about this love child that they were going to have, and it finally came to fruition. And I got to tell you, Los Angeles doesn't have a whole lot of supper clubs that have.
They do not.
There's a lot of places to go to listen to music, but the band is just in a corner. They're not on a stage. There's no lights. Right. They're just in the corner of the room next to a sofa or something. It's really quite odd for a city that's supposed to be this music, you know, mecca, right? So the great part about it is they spent all this time and effort and money, you know, forming this beautiful stage that has great sound and all the speakers, the PA. You don't even see the PA. It's hidden in the walls. It's all bowed in, so you can't really tell where the speakers are, and the sound surrounds you. And also for musicians, they already have what's called backline. The instruments are already on stage, and they don't let you bring really any extra amplifiers or anything like that because it's all set up. So you just really walk in and bring, you know, the drum set's already there, the keyboards are already there, your guitarist and your bass player or whoever else brings their instruments, but they don't have to bring any amps. So for us, it's such a luxury. You know, if you're a musician, you know what it's like to just lug around instruments and amps and microphones and mics.
It's not very glamorous.
No, there's nothing glamorous about it. And you always have to load in by the dumpster, which is super glamorous.
Right.
even my husband, Ron White, who is at the top of his game and selling out you know, big VA, he's sold out Radio City. The artist entrance is always by the dumpster.
Really, isn't that crazy?
I know, it's true though. You always get to see the back, you know, the underbelly of all these venues, and it keeps you honest, I think.
So,
it's like, oh yeah, so, you know, well, when we pick you out, you're just going to be right there by the fish, by the trash.
So, you know, you're going to have to either make a quick getaway or you're going to have to make a run for it. So hopefully you get a big standing O and you can take your time to, you know, walk out to the limo to, you know, take you wherever you're going next. But so how was it playing the event there? Because since I missed it, I haven't, you know, heard, you know, from other people who were there, what's it like playing at a club like that so close to home?
Well, I love having a local gig, you know, it costs a lot of money to move my band around and we try to do it obviously as much as possible, but it, you know, you just have to do what makes sense. And we all do this for a living as well as, you know, for a passion. But that it's wonderful to have a local show. The crowds are always different. Like I just did a show in Santa Barbara at a place called Soho. And that's fantastic. The Santa Barbara crowd is definitely completely different from the Beverly Hills crowd.
Yep.
But always welcoming, very, you know, wonderful, and people are there to have a good time, and, you know, people are there to have a great meal and enjoy their friends. But what I love is that, you know, you're not treated like background music, because I certainly wouldn't do that. I'm there to do a show, a concert,
right,
and I
right.
do one long concert set. So it was my second time to play there. I really like it, and I think they were very pleased, so... I plan on being back there, and I hope you get to come this time.
Me too.
Also, there's valet parking, so definitely. There's also a huge public parking lot, like Catty Corner, so please, I hope you find a parking god.
Well, I'll make it a point next time. I was just so frantic to get there to be able to hear everything. By the time everything was going, I just kept going around in circles with my friends, because there was a big group of us that were coming to see you, and we're like, we can't find parking any place, so we just, you know, ended up having to pack it in, as they say. But let's talk about more exciting things, like your brand new single, Never Too Late, which is number one on Billboard this week. Are you just going crazy knowing that you're number one?
Well, I think I'm number one most active or something like that. So it's I'm very excited that people, I hate that word, I'm very excited. That's a terrible phrase. I'm very excited. Everybody says that. I think they say that for lack of a better phrase. I can't believe I just got myself saying it. I am always grateful, and I am, of course, tickled. You know, I'm completely tickled that people embrace my music, and every time I eat, you know, my music, my songs are like my little kids. You know, some kids go to private school.
Yeah.
Some kids are like the most popular. Some kids are like special needs. I think all my songs are like that. I write a song, and I think, this one's going to be this, and this one might be that. So with a single, you choose it very carefully, and you think, well, maybe this one will fly out of the nest and soar out of the nest. And to get that kind of feedback, well, it's wonderful, especially if it comes from industry people. And that's what makes it number one most active, is that it comes from all the programming directors at the radio stations, obviously based on the response from the fans. So.
And
yay.
That has to, yay. You know, you're the most popular. I think that's great. We're going to be playing that in just a second. But I wanted to, well, I was listening to it several times earlier today. And, you know, I'm a big fan of your prior work. We're going to be playing Colors and Habit and Let It Rain, another collaboration you have with John Oates, which I want to ask you about in just a second. But this sounded really, not that your other music hasn't, but this sounded very like, you know, today, very top 40, very... very cool kids. I was like, this, I love this song. I could hear this on any number of stations across LA or across the country. Was there a specific intent when you were writing this, both as the, you know, lyricist and also writing the music, that you said, we're going to do something top 40 for this one, or did it just kind of happen?
No, John Oates and I wrote the song, and we actually didn't have any access to like cool beats or anything, because a writing session is really just a spiral notebook, a couple guitars, and maybe like a, you know, whatever basic kind of drum beat you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to set a tempo, you know, we just use some kind of simple bossa nova drum beat to write it. We wrote it, and then we met again. John Oates and I were actually writing one day. We were writing other songs. And at the very end of the session, I said, hey, you know, I've got this other song. And I sang him the first verse and what I wanted it to be about. And so we kind of got it started in Aspen. And then we finished the lyrics in Las Vegas. He came out to Las Vegas to sit in on one of my shows. And that's when we finished the lyrics. And it was really great. And the thing is, I might go back and work on a song that he and I were working on. But sometimes I want to save it until the next time I see him.
So right.
We wrote a song, and it was really more about the message. Yeah, it was more about the message than anything. So then when I finally took it in the studio, John actually ended up recording it in a very kind of old, kind of Temptations R&B kind of way. I don't know if it's going to see the light of day. I don't know if he's going to put it on an album. When I went into the studio, then I produced it the way I wanted to hear it. And thank you for saying that it's current. I really appreciate that. You know, the last album, Habit, was totally about an homage to the 70s. It was all about that analog sound.
Yes.
So I really didn't give, you know, 2 cents of whether somebody thought it was, I wasn't trying to make it current. I was trying to make it retro. And that's what I achieved. Unfortunately, I got a couple of singles out of that album as well. You know, the song's about being kind. It's about being kind. It's okay to be right, but you can be kind about it. You don't have to hurt people. And it's about basically a conversation going wrong. And the day after, the person is regretting, you know, what was said, how it was said, what they could have said. You know, the two of them together could have taken the higher road. And is it not the end? Can we still, you know, can we still make this work? In spite of all the hurtful and immature ways that the conversation got out of hand. And John and I were pretty happy about that message. You know, we both, this is great. You know, this is the kind of message that people do every single day. You know, people have all kinds of misunderstandings. And we're not being preachy. We're just being truthful about the way conversations in our lives have gone. And, you know, somebody relates to it. Fantastic. So I just wanted to give it a really cool, hip groove. And it's even better live, I gotta say. If I'm gonna pat the backs of my band, the guys in my band and the girls in my band, it's so fantastic live. I love playing that song live.
Well, I can't wait to hear it live, but can you do me a favor? I would love to play this and then come back, and I have a couple more questions for you. Can we keep you a couple extra minutes?
Of course.
Yay! Okay, so everybody, this is an early Friday night dance party on a Tuesday night at 6:15. Get out of your chairs and start moving. This is Never Too Late by Margo Ray. Number one!
So baby, don't let go, don't let go.
It's Never Too Late by Margot Ray. That's the number one song on Billboard's AC charts this week. And we are thrilled to have her here. Margot, that's your second time working with John Oates for a song that's made it out into the public. You had a song that was out prior to this that became an anthem for an organization that you're with. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
It did become the anthem for an organization called Rise Against Breast Cancer. And if you want to know more about it, you can find it at briseagainstbreastcancer.org or brideagc.org. It's a fantastic way to raise money, and I think it services the community in so many ways. There's so many charitable organizations out there, and there's so many that, you know, kind of fall short in what they're trying to achieve. But this concept is really incredible. They sell and resell wedding dresses. So you wear your dress once, or you don't wear it at all, or a designer has a surplus, and they donate these dresses to Brides Against Breast Cancer. Then they put them on an 18-wheeler, about 1,000 dresses per 18-wheeler, and create a trunk show and travel all over the United States. They'll have usually two 18-wheelers simultaneously going on throughout the country. So the women get an opportunity to buy these dresses at a discounted price. So these are gently used dresses or never not used at all because they're designer surplus. And that money goes back to providing absolutely free programs and services for those impacted by cancer. You know, not just the patients, but their family members, their caregivers, their friends. A lot of people call, there's really a need for knowledge out there about how to deal with a loved one going through a cancer diagnosis. The Center for Building Hope is the center that receives the funds and provides these services absolutely free nationwide. It's like yoga, wellness, nutrition, group therapy, things like that. Services that oftentimes medical buildings and, you know, hospitals, organizations don't really offer. So you can log on and get these services absolutely free. So it's really cool. So I became their national ambassador. I was honored. And at the time, I was actually going through chemo when I didn't really think I would ever be a poster child or something like that. But if it helps other people, if whatever I went through can help someone else, then I'm totally fine with that. And I was honored to have the post. And so it's Brides Against Breast Cancer and Let the Rain, which is about overcoming, you know, adversity, finding solace in a time of adversity, which I wrote with John Oates, is the anthem for that organization.
So we'll play that towards the end of our time together tonight. But okay. Two questions for you. I saw recently on Facebook that you'd been babysitting this beautiful French bulldog by the name of Pearl. What was that like, bringing another puppy into your home?
Well, you know, we have two French bulldogs named Gertie and Pearl, and they're actually fawns. So they're like a peachy white, you know, beige French bulldog. And they're going to be 7 years old, and they're just the love of our lives. They're wonderful. They travel with us everywhere. They're service dogs. They comfort cancer patients, which is really sweet. But a friend of mine was in a bind, and her normal dog sitter was out on a family emergency. And I said, well, let me watch her. And her name is Pearl, but she's like a black brindle French bulldog. And it was just adorable. I just gave her back, and I'm missing her already. She was adorable. She's so very different from my dogs, and with definitely that Frenchie personality where they just want to be with you. Frenchies are wonderful breed of dogs. They're very smart. They're funny. They want to be, they're playful. And so they'll make you laugh all the time. And they really just want to be with their human. But they do require a lot of attention and a lot of training to get the best out of that breed. And, it was so much fun. I posted pictures on Facebook. I'm going to post some more. I made some more hilarious videos of we were calling her Little Black Pearl or Little Black Pearly because my Pearl was confused. You know, I would say, Pearl, come. And so my Pearl would come to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd keep calling the other one, and my Pearl was like, I'm here. So I was like, okay, I got to change this. Pearly wasn't working. She wouldn't come to that. So I go, Little Black Pearly. And then she came. She started acknowledging, you know, after a few hours, she started coming to me. It was really, really, really sweet. I can't wait to see her. I'll see her again on Monday. But I know. I'm such a sucker. And I never thought I'd, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I was going to have, you know, two French bulldogs that would rule my world and that I would take in another place, I would not believe you.
You've lost your mind or something like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I had a cat for 20 years. So,
yeah.
You know, talk about doggy 101. It was really quite an intense training.
Now, Margo, when you were here last time, I think it was probably around the Miles High Productions Christmas show that we did, and you had your hit Christmas single that was out. What's up with your Christmas album? Any new progress updates on that?
Oh, thank you for asking. So I wrote a song called This Holiday Night, which became a top five hit on the charts. And when I released it, I was in the throes of making a full-length album. Not a holiday album. And so I got carried away and recorded three Christmas songs. And so after I did, you know, on the success of This Holiday Night, many people asked, okay, well, where's the rest of the album? So here we are on our fifth anniversary of This Holiday Night, which is always in the top 10 of the charts every holiday season. And I'm extremely grateful. So I'm finishing the album, damn it.
Right on.
I'm going into the studio and I'm going to finish the album and I will sign, seal, and deliver it to my record label for everyone. And so it'll be really cool, very nice, chilled out grooves, you know, the kind of stuff you want to, I don't know, cook dinner to.
Yeah.
Nothing trite and corny, just like maybe some bossa nova, some samba, a little. Like, I don't know.
Get a nice glass of wine, sit by the fire, cook
like
dinner.
Down-tempo grooves, you know. Yeah.
So how do you get yourself in the Christmas spirit in, like, July when you have to go into the studio to sing those songs so they're out in time for the holidays?
You know what? I wrote This Holiday Night in July. So
no.
Wow. Me because I did. I was given an assignment by my manager. He said, would you like to write a Christmas song? He gave me a specific reason, but it didn't actually end up being on an album for that reason, which is actually kind of a blessing in disguise. And so I filled my playlist with a lot of classical music and some of my favorite holiday music, which is like Harry Connick Jr., you know, Vince Guaraldi is the music of Charlie Brown. If people don't know that. And I went hiking, and I get a lot of musical ideas when I hike, when I drive. And so I went for a hike, which is much safer, and came home and wrote This Holiday Night.
How incredible is that? Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of it, so hopefully we'll get a chance to have you back towards the holidays. What else do we need to know? How do people go and find you on the interweb?
On the interweb, you can find me at margoray.com. That's margoray.com. And that'll take you anywhere. That'll take you to my Twitter page, Instagram, Facebook, all those social sites that take up all of our time. And it'll also give you my tour schedule. I've got some tour dates coming up in Northern California and other parts of the United States. So just stay tuned and, you know, reach out to me. If you give me your email address on my site, you will not be inundated with anything. You'll only get an email if I'm in your area, and I'll let you know what I'm doing. So, okay, reach out.
Margo.
You know, be nice.
Thank you so much for being here. The life of a busy superstar takes you on many different travels during this time of year, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do that. Well, we're going to play Let the Rain next. And Margo, you are a dream come true. Thank you very much, and safe travels as you make your way across the country today. I sure appreciate you very, very much.
Garrett, you are entirely too kind. I am not a superstar, but thank you for saying it anyway.
Okay. Well, in my eyes, there we go. Thank you so much. We're
going
to see you soon. Okay, everybody, we'll be back after Margo. We're going to do a three-peat of Margo. We're going to do Let the Rain, Habit, and Colors for Margo, and then we'll be back after that to wrap up the show. So get out of your chair and start dancing. Thanks.
Go. Okay.
drops fall like honeydew. A beat ups I don't want to do, and I'm growing in my shells. Nothing to lose. Oh, high heels looking to them be while ladies scurry in the street. A hurried pace and tapping feet, they all have someone else to drag. So let them run and hide like the cloudy sky, and let the rain wash over me. Yeah. And in my darkest hour, I'm sanctified.
Every time I'm When I feel judged by someone else, that love, love, love begins with me. I dig in deep and must reveal the secret for my heart to heal. No lies, 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 or make believe. But my stones and sticks, I pitch them away and get in the way of myself again. And then I say, I am not afraid. I know how to be brave, 'cause in the best and worst of days, my colors never fade. Bitter words can't stain, wash out or strip away, 'cause in a million shades of gray, my colors never fade. Fade. Mending all my imperfections unravels me in all directions, and it's hard, 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 so hard to breathe. Can't pave my road with good intentions, frightened by my own inventions. Oh, when will I believe? So brick by brick, I lay it there and paint up my face for the world again. And then I say, colors never fade. Impossible, they say. The odds cannot be played, but my dreams come true in faith when my colors never fade. Colors never fade. Bitter words can't stain, wash out or strip away, 'cause in a million shades of gray, my colors never fade. Impossible, they say. The odds cannot be played, but my dreams come true in faith when my colors never fade.
We have had the great pleasure of having Margot Ray on the line with us tonight. She is the number one chart topper of the week on the AC chart with her new single, Never Too Late. And if you heard it here, go to iTunes and, of course, buy it on the show page tonight, there's a link to Margot's website, margotray.com, and then also a link to her iTunes page, so you can go and buy all of her music, splurge a little. I'm sure you got a summer bonus of some kind, and help support independent music whenever you can. Margot, on her website, has all of her tour dates and her Margography. I'd ever help me with that, because I'm looking at that saying, I can't say this correctly. And she goes, it's Margography. How can you not know what that is? It's Margography. But there's her videos, her music, her news, tour schedule, events, pictures, and so much more. And all of the links to her social media are on her website as well. So I encourage you to go and do that. We're going to play her song, Never Too Late, at the end of the show to wrap things up as well. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, we've got some news of the day that I've been perusing for you, or things that I've been reading about and going, that's just a little on the interesting side to me. Are you a big Amazon shopper or a Walmart shopper? I tend to be the kind of shopper that if I have to go to the store, it's never going to be a mall. It might be Costco, and might's the operative word. Otherwise, I'm at Sprouts or I'm at Ralph's to get my vegetables or grilled chicken if it's on sale. And that's really the extent of my shopping. I'm not a shopaholic. I hate going to the mall. I hate doing anything that involves having to walk around an air-conditioned indoor holding tank and be forced to spend money that I don't really want to spend. So Amazon is my guilty pleasure. If I'm going to buy anything online, I tend to just go there and figure, okay, if I don't need it today, which is usually like a vegetable, I don't need a tomato or an avocado today, I can probably get it on Amazon and have it sent right here. I'm a big supporter of small business, but this is for, you know, stuff that I'd usually buy at a big box store anyway. So this article comes from CNN Money as of today, and it says, my sale is better than yours. Just hours after Amazon teased some of its major deals ahead of the kickoff of its Prime Day, Walmart previewed some of its own deep discounts on CNN Money. The 24-hour sale-a-thon is set to begin at midnight tonight. That's technically Wednesday morning. Amazon's special savings day on Wednesday is to commemorate the company's 20th anniversary and is being promoted as having more deals than Black Friday. After Amazon announced its plan this week, Walmart jumped in on a sales day of its own on the same day that will be filled with what it calls atomic specials and thousands of deals. Some of the Amazon discounts revealed Tuesday include a 40-inch TV for $115, savings up to 70% off top kitchen brands, an Amazon Fire HD 7 tablet for $60 off. It regularly retails for $139. Over 50% off of two Nikon Coolpix cameras and an iRobot Roomba pet vacuum cleaning robot. Say that five times fast for under $300. That's savings of at least $99 and possibly more depending upon model. Walmart special, on the other hand, include an Apple iPad Mini 2 for $265. That's a savings of $174. A Black & Decker drill and a $133 home project kit for $50, which usually retails for $80. And a Toshiba 15.6-inch satellite laptop for $377. Customers save $253. The Amazon sales are available only to its Prime members, but Amazon is currently offering the membership normally $99 a year for free as a 30-day trial. Now, here's my little sidebar on that. Who remembers to go and cancel before the 30 days is up? You know, you're usually into day 45 or day 60, and then that $99 thing comes on, and then you've got to go battle that. I get what Amazon is doing. I just don't necessarily agree with it. But that's what a lot of the stores do. You know, they, you know, come and try it for free, and then we'll start billing you for the $1 million. And hopefully by then, you know, you're hooked, so you won't want to give it up. I think there's probably some validation in it. You know, you get free, you know, Prime shipping, and you get some other bonuses like that. So if you got to have it on a Sunday, it probably shows up on a Sunday. But I think at that point, you go to the mall. But that's just me. Shoppers are going to be privy to enticements such as lightning deals and deals of the day throughout Wednesday, and will receive free and unlimited two-day shipping. Prime Day will also allow members the chance to win from $1,000 to $25,000 in Amazon gift cards and tickets and a trip to the season 2 premiere of Transparent, an Amazon original show. In addition to announcing its own sale, Walmart criticized Amazon, imagine that, for opening the sale to Amazon Prime members. Amazon shot back, questioning the logic of retailers who make prices cheaper for online versus in-store shoppers. Dig, 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 dig. Isn't that what you just love to see? I don't know. So if you like to shop on Amazon. This is, you know, maybe a topic for today if you want to. 323-657-1493 is the hotline. You can give me a call or you can ping me on Facebook. I'm on Instant Messenger on Facebook right now as well. You can send me a note and let me know what you think about that. Another top story of the day is this crazy feud that's going on between El Chapo and Donald Trump. And I don't really know what to make of that other than this has to be just the craziest thing ever. But the Mexican government has, I think it started yesterday, they put up a $3.8 million price tag on the head of El Chapo. The Chicago Crime Commission once again dubbed him public enemy number one, and Donald Trump had a beef with him on Twitter. Still, the Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman remained a free man Tuesday, 3 days after he disappeared from a Mexican prison shower, slipped through a mile-long tunnel, and vanished into the night. The director of Altiplano, the notoriously yet apparently pregnable maximum security prison 50 miles outside of Mexico City, and two other prison employees have been fired. Mexico's Interior Secretary Chong provided a few details other than to say all had something or a lot to do with what happened. Now, the interesting thing here is that they're saying, you know, if he wasn't captured within, you know, 24, 48 hours, that he's probably never going to be captured again. Fascinating. And yet he's still able to tweet a Twitter war with Donald Trump. I don't get that at all. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't get it. And, you know, also, you know, making the news today. Now, this is so fascinating to me because we have all these people joining in the Republican primary. And I think it's pretty much anybody that is, you know, a registered Republican. They're now running for president for the 2016 election. So, of course, Donald Trump has his name in the hat. And for a lot of reasons, it's not surprising that he's, you know, so popular. But I think a lot of people are finding it surprising because he has such a commanding lead combined over the next like top four or five candidates. And to see him, you know, come out and make all of these really wild statements and then have crazy things like a Twitter war with the drug lord of Mexico who's escaped and on the lam, that to me is fascinating. Also fascinating is the fact that some people within the Republican Party think this candidate in Donald Trump is actually a plant by the Democratic Party because he's so out there on many of the things he's saying. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, because Trump has always talked Republican politics forever and ever and ever. I think that we have so many different you know, people that are out there right now vying for that nomination next year. It will be really interesting to see at the end of the day. Because remember last time when we were running for president in 12, we had like Michelle Bachmann out of Minnesota, and you had Rick Santorum, and you had all these people that, you know, were just, you know, supposed to be these super heavyweights, and they came out swinging, and then Iowa came along, and everybody just, you know, kind of fell by the wayside, and the tails were tucked between their legs, and off they went. And those were the people that were supposed to just really knock them dead. And that was not what happened in any way, shape, or form. So interesting stuff that's going on there. Stock, are you in Southern California? I've got to ask you about this. I was watching a news report. This actually started last Thursday, and something crazy happening that I don't understand, but it happens every couple of years. So I think it's just cyclical that it's now the time to happen. But Southern California has had the gases go up. The gas prices go up by nearly a dollar in some cases. Some places it's even higher in just the last week. And actually the change took place overnight in many stations. At least I noticed two or three along PCH here in Huntington Beach, headed up towards Long Beach in Los Angeles. The gas prices on a Thursday were $3.67, and the following Friday afternoon they were $4.76, a $1.09 increase overnight. And this was before the big, you know, the big press hit saying, oh, you know, watch out, gas prices are really going to go up because there's this thing called scarcity in the market. And scarcity, of course, means there's just a lack of supply. Now, of course, there's not a lack of supply anywhere else, apparently. And I'm seeing reports from other people on Facebook and on social media where gas is still extremely reasonably priced this time of year. And yet, overnight, literally overnight, before they even ran out and before they even had to buy the quote-unquote scarce gas at the higher price to then sell to us for a higher price. The prices were going up, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $10 a gallon overnight. I have a real problem with that. So a lot of the news stations here in the LA area are talking about, you know, the story behind all of this and what's going on and all of the, you know, wherewithal having to do with gas prices going up. I, for one, am very glad that I'm not doing a lot of driving right now, or at least I'm being very strategic about where I'm going. Even today, I went to the grocery store midday, and I hopped a ride with a friend who was going to be going to the grocery store at the same time. I said, well, let's just save gas. You know, and even though that's like, what, a 10-mile round trip, an 8-mile round trip just up the road, a few miles, you know, why take two separate cars if you don't have to? So even something as simple as that, I'm looking at ways to say, I don't need to be in my car, and I don't need to be driving today. I don't know. You know, if you're doing a lot of driving this summer, I would be interested to hear from you how you plan to deal with that, or if the gas prices are impacting your market. As soon as I found out about this, I think it was last Thursday, I'm sending this article out to several people I know in other parts of California. And I said, go out and fill it up, you know, and I'm probably like, you know, calling the sky like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. And they, you know, would race out and get their cars filled up, and they saw the gas prices go up, but it wasn't, you know, the $1.10 a gallon. It was more like, you know, 20 or 30 cents in some cases. In some cases, it didn't even hit over the course of the weekend. It's hitting now as we are into the midweek on Tuesday. So if you are looking at a higher gas bill because of that, tell me, and tell me what it means to you and your family for the coming months of the year. Okay, so with that little rambling, I want to let you know that I am going to play, you know, because I reshared the Gay Wedding music video earlier today, and I'm just so thrilled that the Supreme Court ruled back on in June that, you know, marriage equality is across the 50 states. I'm so thrilled with it. Of course, the single Gay Wedding is out on iTunes, but I reshared the music video and on Facebook earlier today, and as soon as I do that, you know, I ask everybody to share it, like it, and all of the good stuff. And the views on it went up by hundreds. So I just want to thank everybody who's on social media with me right now, talking about it, promoting it, and trying to get others to listen to it. And if you're out there on other major radio stations, I'll always say thank you, thank you, thank you for playing it, like Beth McDonald on KEZ 99.9 in Phoenix did recently. With a, you know, she had a great little blurb about it as well. So thank you, Beth McDonald. Appreciate that. KSCO 1080 in Santa Cruz as well, and others across the country. And of course, our friends on Chat and Spin Radio and West Star Radio Network in the UK. I'm going to play this. It's Gay Wedding by me. Then we're going to wrap up the show with Margot Ray's Never Too Late, but I'll be back to say goodbye to you and kind of wrap up what's happening tomorrow for our exciting guest show then. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Look what we've done. Hey, Mr. Mr. Second to no one. Hey, Mr. Mr. Our time has come. Hey, Mr. Mr. Marry your true love. Hey, Mr. Mr. Hot Bun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Hey, sister, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, sister, true love. Hey, sister, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
takes me back home, yeah.
Hey, Mr. Mister, look what we've done. Hey, Mr. Mister, second to no one. We've been together so long. Vows made today are so strong. No matter the state that you're from, it's a nice day to start again.
Come on,
it's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to with this love. Our hearts are light with this love. And you crave at night for this love. And you give your all for this love.
And you know you're good with this love. Start again. Come on, it's a night day for us.
That's a little gay wedding by yours truly. I appreciate the support. Go out and get it on iTunes. And if you want the album, you can get an autographed CD by going to my website, GarrettMiller.com, and I'll autograph it personally to you, put it in the mail directly with my own two hands, and send it off in your direction. Here's a recap of what's happening for the rest of the week, an exciting week. On Wednesday show, we've got Amanda Gore, and she is head of this fantastic project called The Joy Project. And we're going to have Amanda on the show. She's going to be interviewed by our very own Mary Lou. This is Mary Lou's two-peat this week. She's going to be hosting Amanda Gore on Wednesday's show. On Thursday, I've got two guests out of Hollywood. I've got Rick Carradas, and he is the producer and writer of Walk a Mile in My Pradas. And then on the back end of the show, we've got the iconic Madonna impersonator, Cher impersonator, and all-around fabulous comedian Nadia Ginsberg. Nadia is going to be calling in about 7:45 on Thursday's show to talk about her upcoming appearance at Casita del Campo for the Madonna Logs. And if you have not seen the Madonna Logs on YouTube, she did an episode. She did a series one this a few months ago. I was going to say this last year, but it's a few months ago. And she just successfully raised funds for a season two. So she's busy filming that. So Nadia Ginsberg is our part two guest on Thursday's show. Can you believe it? Two guests in one show. And then on Friday's show, we've got Shauna Burns coming back to talk about her new music as well on the two-hour Friday night dance party. That's, of course, is broadcast on Chat and Spin Radio at midnight on Friday as well. So if you like the show, tell your friends about it. Love having you be part of this. And Rated G Radio exists for you. So if you have a guest or if you want to be a guest and think that you'd have a great story to tell about a product or service or you got something to sell, send me a note. I'm booking for September and October right now. In the meantime, this is Margot Ray, Never Too Late. Again, it's the number one song in America on the AC charts right now. And we had the number one artist in America here on the show. Margot, thank you so much for being a guest. I love your music. Love having you be here. Continued success to you. We'll see you soon, and we'll see everybody else live on Wednesday, tomorrow. Amanda Gore, tune in.
Running through my head, a silent meditation of what I should have said. Have we pushed to the end? Neither one of us will.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.